Now, the species has actually changed. We've moved once again from sheep to cattle. Obviously, touch base with our Lincoln Red earlier. And we're looking now at, obviously, not the parade of cattle, but the original judging. So, Lou, what exactly are we seeing here?
Okay, we're in the very early stages here now of the judging of what were they called, the commercial classes. These were the classes which, jokingly, I refer to as their crossbreeds that they used to talk about some years. Each farmer being proud of his own breed of cattle, whether they were Holsteins or Galloways or Herefords. Then the butchers started to dictate for the type of beast that they wanted. And in many cases, they decided to take a bit of this and a bit of that. So therefore, the word cross came into it, where we would get probably a blonde Aquitaine, which people found a little bit too lean in the muscle. So by adding a bit of Angus, famous for the marbling, etc., we created the beast, which was really the premium beast. And this class has now really taken over. Very, very big in prize money, anything £250, £300 in prize money for this particular class. And it gives the general town folk a chance to own a beast and have it represented, seeing their name in the catalogue, etc. And this is the early stages. These are steers, castrated males, probably over a year, between a year and 18 months old. Nice big heavyweight beast, very, very well fleshed, as we can see here behind. The judge is calling them out one at a time. See the judge over in the tweed coat, looking at the way the beast is standing. You'll see the handler with his stick tickling here. The beast immediately by is tickling its belly, reassures it, makes it stand nice and still. And also with the point at the end of the stick, he can make the beast move its feet so that it stands four square on the floor, so that when the judge runs his hands over the carcass, he can feel the sirloin, the rump, all the expensive cuts being shown to their best advantage.
You're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM's Drive Time Show, or Midweek Drive, I should say, in association with Athenor & Co. at the 126th Lincolnshire Show. And I think it's already manifesting into a wonderful day.
It's really warming up now, a kind of day that we ought to have for a good English summer show.
When we start talking about media magnates, the likes of Murdoch and indeed Maxwell sometimes spring to mind. When we start talking about media gurus and general wonderful people in Lincoln, Alan Woodhead is the name that I always think of. Alan, good to see you once again.
Do you know, that's the most absurd sort of introduction, but thank you.
You know, it's all positive stuff. Now, Alan, just share with us, for the benefit of the listener who might not have listened back to last year's Lincolnshire show, they might be thinking, oh, we just go to the brand new podcast for Southside and Siren. What sort of things do you actually do?
We cover as many different things that we can that happen in the county. We're interested in people, we're interested in community, we do a lot of sports stuff. The area that we still are trying to get involved in is the business sector. But lots and lots of different things. We look at ourselves more as an archive and a resource than as certainly not a news channel. And at the moment, we've probably got somewhere over 200 archived items about people and items that happen in the county.
We were talking earlier with one of our colleagues from BBC Lincolnshire, who's been given the task of putting together a 45-minute documentary just featuring Lincolnshire voices. That's one example. Clearly, the sort of thing that you're doing, as you said, in terms of archives and lines with that, it's really quite important to actually have that kind of electronic resource online.
It is. The reason that Channel Lincolnshire was created was because there's so much that's unknown about our county. Not only sort of the physical things, people, sort of the places that people can go and visit, but the people, the businesses, all of the great things that happen here. And if people don't know about them, then they can't support them and they can't help to keep the whole thing rolling and make Lincolnshire a thriving county to live in, both economically and culturally.
Now, I know when we spoke last year, we said we really must feature you on the Midweek Drive. We had various communication challenges which have made that more challenging than we'd initially anticipated. But we have to invite you, hopefully in the not too distant future, to join us on our usual 5 through 7pm programme on Siren FM.
Yeah, I'd be glad to come along. What you really mean is you invited me and then either I forgot or something went completely wrong. Yeah.
You should have got your people to speak to our people and vice versa. It's sort of lost in translation, I think.
Yeah, it makes it sound like we're both really big organisations. I'd look forward to coming along. Yeah, it'd be good.
Alan, it's been fantastic connecting with you once again. The web address is?
www.channellincolnshire.co.uk or just Google Channel Lincolnshire. You'll find plenty of links.
And that's the end of part one of our coverage here at the 126th Lincolnshire Show. Part two, we'll see Aaron Craig, our head chef from the Vista Del Mar restaurant in Saltburn, joining us, plus lots of other exciting things. Lou Bevan is still with us, and we might even be joined by Malcolm Tomlinson as well from the Lincolnshire Show. Day one. This has been Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM saying happy trails. Now, one of the great things, obviously, about these shows as we head into part two is the joy of connecting with our colleagues from the CLA, the Countryside Landowners Association, or the Country Land and Business Association, to be precise, and, of course, some of the legends who coordinate the whole area. We're lucky enough, as always, to be speaking now to the fabulous
Helen Woolley.
Helen, last year we were just a little bit, I suppose, quietly nervous, or quietly anticipatory of the CLA Game Fair, which, of course, was held within the East Midlands last year. It went off extremely well. I think we all enjoyed the whole side of things. So congratulations on that. 1 year later, brilliant stuff.
Thank you very much. It was. It was a tremendous show, both for those people who came and enjoyed the show and also for us as an organisation. And for us particularly in the East Midlands, it was a brilliant 3 days.
It was Beaver Castle, of course.
Absolutely.
I still say, when we had this debate during the whole thing, surely it should be Belvoir, not Beaver. But, you know, I gather it's all down to the hounds, really.
Apparently it is all down to the hounds, yes.
And we'll talk about that later. Rackley Hall, of course, coming up shortly, but we're sitting outside the CLA marquee here at the 126th Lincolnshire Show. It's just a glorious day.
Absolutely glorious. I mean, here we are, 9 o'clock in the morning, sitting in, well, it must be well into the 20s, glorious sunshine, and the show just starting to wake up.
Doing media interviews as well, fantastic. Now, for the benefit of our listener who may not be aware of the CLA, champion of the rural economy, I know Lou Bevan and Aaron Craig will be joining us in a few seconds. We'll have a few questions about that. But share with us, what's your own perspective on the CLA? Why is it important in the 21st century?
Many of the issues, the CLA was created a long time ago to defend the rights of farmers and landowners, and that is still our core purpose, as we hear 102 years later. So we are here to protect and ensure that those people who run businesses and live in the rural part of the East Midlands are able to run their businesses and to have a good quality of life.
Lou, I know you always say that the thing about CLA Game Fair, people often don't realise that the countryside doesn't just happen, it's actually managed.
Yeah, that was not the last Beaver, that was the Beaver before, so we're going back, we've got a bit of history now with it. Yeah, when people do travel, I mean, I've travelled down from Doncaster this morning and looking at everywhere, and it's absolutely pristine. And as a foodite, I'm looking at the fields and thinking, look at the quality of everything. The barley's perfect. In fact, with advances now in agriculture, in the old days you'd see fields of corn laid. Okay, we haven't had the tremendously bad weather this year to knock it, but everything is looking superb. But to bring home to the people that it's looking superb because every centimetre of that land is managed. It is made to look that way. It doesn't just happen. You go up to the lakes and go up to the fells. If it wasn't for the sheep and the management up there, you wouldn't be walking on those hills. It would be 6 foot high with bracken and you wouldn't be doing anything. This country needs managing from top to bottom, and we can thank such organisations as this pulling the people together and making the people aware of what they do.
I think that's a very, very, very good point to make. The land, it is a managed landscape that we live in and that we enjoy. And I think the one thing that this show can do is really showcase what Lincolnshire contributes and what rural Lincolnshire contributes. You've only got to walk around the show to see the number of food tents. I mean, sitting opposite, we've got Tom Wood's beer. I mean, most of the wheat for that will have been grown in Lincolnshire. You've got QV Foods, who are providing a lot of the major retailers with salads and vegetables. A tremendous contribution to the UK food supply is coming from the county. And you know, I was at a meeting not very long ago where we were looking at flood alleviation. So, you know, that there is a real contribution that the landscape makes to those people who live in urban areas as well as those people who are privileged enough to live and work in rural areas.
And here's debut at the Lincolnshire Show today, head chef of the Vista Del Mar restaurant, Aaron Craig. Aaron, talking about food, thoughts from your own point of view?
Yeah, is it also food companies that you represent in the rural places? Like obviously, over the years, a lot of restaurants and country pubs and have suffered. Is that something you represent as well?
As well as being the regional director for the CLA in the East Midlands, the other thing, the other hat I wear is the chairman of the East Midlands Rural Affairs Forum, and that is very concerned about rural communities and about representing those people who are trying to run businesses, which would include rural pubs, rural shops. And that really is about trying to make sure that we have very strong rural communities that have access to a good quality and a good range of services. But yes, as an organisation, the CLA obviously is also concerned and will also represent those people who have businesses in rural areas. So it's not just about farmers and landowners. We also represent those people who have rural businesses.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's good to know, really, because obviously pubs are going out there. Business every week, so it's good to see that there's an organisation that gives them that support.
I mean, one of the things that we'll be focusing on particularly at the show this year, and it's a campaign that we've been running for a number of years, is to bring broadband and to get better broadband access across the whole of the rural economy, because now for a lot of businesses, broadband is as important as good road networks and access to other services. If you don't have good access to broadband, whether that's for your own social and personal use or whether it's for running a business, then it is a huge disadvantage to you.
How could you possibly download the Southside podcast if you don't have decent broadband?
Absolutely. How can you download podcasts? How can you how can you book theatre tickets? How can children do their homework? There's a whole raft of things. It's not just about business, but good broadband connection. And so we are working very, very hard at a national level. And we've formed a number of coalitions now with a number of other people in order to try to really make sure that we drive home the essential nature of broadband to rural areas.
Lovely allusion there to the coalition, and obviously there has been a change of administration since we last spoke. Are the signs looking prosperous, positive? I mean, we talked last year about how agriculture in general seemed to be coming out of the recession. We spoke this morning with Lou, and there were sort of general signs that, you know, one looks around at the show today and think, yes, let's celebrate good times, they're coming up. Thoughts from yourself, Helen?
It's clear from what we're hearing from the new Chancellor and also from the new Prime Minister that, you know, we are going to face some very, very difficult times ahead. You know, there are going to be some significant public expenditure cuts. What we will be doing is working with those people whose government departments touch our members and exploring with them where those cuts or trying to certainly provide our comment on where those cuts could be taken, which will have the least impact and won't interrupt the business of our membership.
I'm very quiet, Lou.
No, I'm just thinking here, currently, doom and gloom, if you were to take a blank sheet of paper, write the word Lincolnshire at the top, start to write down what is available in Lincolnshire regarding the meat, regarding the vegetables, as you mentioned there, people are now sourcing for their supermarket chains, etc. It's got a lot going for it.
It. As a county, it's got a tremendous amount going for it, you know, we did a campaign here at the show about 3 years ago, which we called Just Ask, and we had a big poster that demonstrated that you could buy everything that you needed, or you could source everything you needed for a Sunday lunch, a traditional roast Sunday lunch, from out of the county. Yeah. It has, you know, some of the best quality soils. It will always be a strong food-producing county, and there are lots of initiatives happening in Lincolnshire which are really driving that message home.
Helen, it's been fabulous as ever. End of July, of course, is the next CLA game for Ragley Hall. Presumably you'll be there?
I will be there for 3 days, yes.
I think we're certainly looking to do one, possibly two, maybe even three. I know last year we managed to cover some of the sunshine with our colleagues from Rural TV. Some of the slightly more challenging conditions are weather-wise on the Sunday, but hopefully this time we'll be able to actually meet up whilst you're there.
Yeah, I should be on the members' enclosure for 3 days, and I'll be delighted to welcome any members that are at the show, and also any guests and people who want to drop in and say hello.
I was going to say, members, obviously, Southside Broadcasting, we need to maintain a neutrality, but presumably we're always welcome with the CLA.
Absolutely.
Helen, many thanks indeed. Oh, and a web address for the CLA, of course, we need to mention it.
www.cla.org.uk.
Marvellous stuff. OK, we've spent some time obviously looking at some of the beasts this morning, obviously from the point of view of sheep and cattle. And via the CLA, we've made our way to the start of the whole food area. And we're lucky enough now to be speaking to
Lydia Rusling.
And Lydia, you're with Select Lincolnshire.
It's Select Lincolnshire and Taste of Lincolnshire. So it's like a joint stand this year.
Fantastic. Now, already looking at the setup here, you seem to have sort of set up all manner of things, from fields of excellence, showcasing the range and quality of Lincolnshire produce. We spoke this morning with the CLA, as indeed Lou, you mentioned, that everything's going for Lincoln when it comes to food.
Yeah, I mean, the great thing about Lincoln, you write Lincoln down on a sheet of paper, and just the amount of produce that this county turns out, you can't lose, can you? You're on a winner.
Well, we have 20%, I think, of the UK's food and drink comes from the county. So it's a good opportunity for us to really showcase that at our own county show.
And we spoke right at the top of the morning with Piper's Crisps, of course, very much a success story in terms of local companies. And the Lincoln Red, as opposed to the Lincolnshire Red, which is cheese, as I've been informed. Again, tremendous sort of celebratory aspects to develop.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of different produce to choose from, especially today. I mean, we've got lots of different meat producers, Lincoln Red, Lincoln Sausages, the pork and everything you can think of on the meat side. But we've also got some great vegetables and for the sweeter tooth, got ice cream and chocolates and all sorts of things. So we've got a great choice.
Clearly, I can see not just a month series of shows with Chef's Choice, but probably several years coming across here. Aaron, thoughts for yourself?
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, in my restaurant and obviously in Yorkshire, we do get a lot of Lincolnshire, especially vegetables coming through. Why would you, if you were to sell Lincolnshire vegetables, why would you do that?
Why would I do it personally? Yeah. Well, the proportion of, is it grade one land in the county is, I think, the highest proportion in the whole of the UK. Yeah. So we're actually growing it in great soil, and we've been growing produce in this county for so many centuries that the quality is really high as well, and that's the other thing that we're pushing, not just the quantity that comes from the county, but really the quality produce. And that's, I hope, what chefs are looking for.
Well, it definitely is, and it's definitely something I've found from produce from Lincolnshire. It's always of a top quality as opposed to quantity, as you said, so it is not going to have good quality from a chef's point of view anyway.
We've also got Rachel Green, who's our kind of local food champion, and she's doing cookery demonstrations throughout the day today. So it's worthwhile going along and seeing how to cook some of those wonderful produce that we've got here today.
This is the interesting thing. I've often thought the competitiveness amongst chefs could be an interesting line, because clearly Aaron here trained with Heston Blumenthal. Is Heston very competitive?
Definitely, yeah. He's always striving to better himself, so... you know what chefs are like, they're very competitive. So
I mean, I'm thinking, Lydia, what, Heston Blumenthal, Rachel Green, we like them both, but who would win?
Oh, I don't know, I couldn't possibly comment on that. I am particularly fond of Heston. I like the way he's like really unusual, whereas Rachel's more kind of, you can follow Rachel at home and do something really good at home. I've done chocolate roulade for Christmas last year, which was really delicious. It took me some time, but it was quite a simple recipe to follow, whereas I think Heston's will have me a bit flummoxed in the kitchen.
The thing is, I find as well, when you've got such great produce as well, you don't want to mess about with it much. It wants to be pure and simple and cooked simply, and you always get the best results that way.
Yeah, definitely.
See, I'm still coming to grips with the edible sands that Aaron was talking about earlier. You know, it's made of?
Malt extract and tapioca flour.
So. There we are. Tip for the day, Lydia. Yeah.
Excellent. I will try and follow that.
Edible sand for the Skegness listener, clearly.
Oh, that would be a good one, actually.
You see, yeah. always connecting with that one. Lou, any other questions?
No, I'm just looking here. I didn't realise that 38% of the bull flowers are grown in this county. So it's not just food. I mean, it's just everything. Open your eyes. Everything agricultural. You know, from great food on your plates to a great centre in the middle of the table, it's all there.
Yeah, I don't think we really get enough credit, do we, for how much we produce in the county, whether it's, you know, from flowers to the food or to drink.
I tell you what, as we're developing a new series of shows for our global audience, and indeed possibly Siren as well, called Chef's Choice, how do you feel about being a semi-regular contributor to that, talking about the great food sources that Lincolnshire can actually develop?
Oh, more than happy, that's fine.
There we are. I think contracts will be signed there, and all sorts of things will be coming through. And finally, a web address. What's the best way in which people can get hold of, obviously, Select Lincolnshire and find out some of these fantastic facts that you develop if they can't make the show this year?
We've got two websites. The first one, www.tasteoflincolnshire.com, is more for finding out where your local restaurant is that sources local produce or a bed and breakfast. And then you've got www.selectlincolnshire.com or the links foodandfarming.org.uk, and both of those help you source produce from the direct from the producer.